This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular schedule over many, many radio stations. Each week at this same time, we bring you recorded message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. He was the founder and pastor of this work here at Radio Missions for many, many years, and our mentor and our teacher. And he'd gone on to be with the Lord many years ago, and now we still air his broadcast. And we appreciate every one of you who helped us keep these messages going out. We believe they're the gospel. We believe they're the truth. And the scripture says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we praise the Lord for the truth. One day I did not know the truth, but the Lord stopped me. Stopped me on my way to hell and gave me grace to find the truth and to come to the Lord in submission. But remember, the message you'll hear today is Satan the imitator. Old imitator, old Satan, old scoundrel. And you stay tuned, and we'll give you the mailing address at the close of the message.
We're living in a day when Satan's personality is denied and laughed at, which is one of Satan's ways of concealing himself. That's his business. In this manner, he is able to carry on his nefarious, diabolical work of destroying the souls of men. Satan is a living personality. The Bible teaches that fact. Every individual who's awakened to his lost, ruined condition and wants to get to Christ knows that's a fact, because Satan hinders him and uses every known method to try to keep him from getting to Christ. Now, you awakened sinners know that. The very moment that the Holy Spirit begins to draw an individual out of Satan's family, Satan raises all hell to keep him from getting out. Every born-again believer knows there's a personal devil because he encounters him along the pathway of life. Now, that's true. The Bible, God's Word, is our only authentic source of information regarding Satan. Now, my friend, you discard every other information except God's Word. We're going to give you "Thus saith the Lord." And that's the only authentic information that we have, is God's Word. Now, Satan is not somebody walking around with a long tail and horns and a hoose and a red robe on with a pitchfork in his hand. That's a figment of man's imagination. That isn't Satan at all. Satan is one of the archangels of God who's fallen. And one of the greatest creation of all God's creation was Lucifer, the morning star who fell, and now is Satan. And so the Bible, God's Word, is our only authentic source of information regarding Satan. The devil is spoken of throughout the Word as the devil or the slanderer. He accuses man to God and slanders God to man, Job 1:6. He always puts question marks after the Word, Genesis 3:1, because he knows if he can get you to question the Word of God, then he has you. Yes, he has you in his grip. Then he is called Satan, the accuser. He is always accusing God to man, saying that God will not keep his word, that you can't trust his promises. Is he doing that to you? Then Satan is called the old serpent, the old dragon, because he is subtle, crafty, wily, sly, cunning. He tries never to present himself in his true color and in his true light. He is the deceiver. He has deceived the whole world, and they lie in sleep in his lap. Then Satan, in his role of attacking and deceiving the hearts of men, is referred to as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion, his method is that of what? Intimidation. Let's read that scripture again, will you? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may intimidate. That's what that word devour means. Intimidate. He'll run up to you and roar at you. Or he'll sneak up behind you and whisper in your ear, intimidating you. He delights in making fun of, belittling, laughing at an individual who's coming to Christ or a born-again believer. That's his business. Boy, I know his old tricks. I don't know all of them. But bless your heart, I know a bushel of them. And he's tried every one of them on your speaker. That's right. And I just refuse to be intimidated by the old devil. I just refuse to be intimidated by him. Yes, I do. He tries everywhere in the world to put me on the defense. That's right. All right, listen. He'll do his best to make that individual feel so out of place, so little, for one purpose, to shut your mouth against your testimony for Christ. That's one of the most dastardly tricks Satan can pull on one of God's children. That is, to shut their mouths so they'll not boldly give their testimony to their friends or to a lost world. He'll whisper to them, Now, it's all right to be saved. That's all right. That's all right, sister, be saved. But I wouldn't tell it to everyone I meet. I wouldn't be telling it all the time. Why don't you keep quiet about it? How do you know you're saved, he'll ask. His method with those under conviction for salvation is, now, it's all right to be religious. It's all right to get to Christ. He don't deny that. I have no objection to that, he says. But don't give up everything. You know, if you don't, you don't get to Christ. You can't afford to give up your sweetheart or your family or your friends. You can't afford to give up your old will. Let's not burn all the bridges behind us because you might want to go back. Suppose God doesn't keep his promise. Suppose God doesn't do what he says he'll do. Suppose his word fails. Then you'll want some way to go back, he'll say. And so let's not make a complete, full surrender unto Christ as Lord. And he knows if that doesn't take place, you'll never get saved. Yes, he'll do everything in his power to intimidate you in order to shut your mouth about your testimony for Christ or to keep you from getting to Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:26, we find these words. You listen now. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Yes, Satan sets traps for individuals that he might hold them captive. When I was a child, we set snares for birds made out of horse's hair. And when the bird got tangled up in the snare, it was helpless and we could catch it. So it is with the sinner. How many of you awakened sinners today find yourselves ensnared by Satan? You're held captive in his net at his will. The snares are very attractive sometimes, aren't they? But they're very dangerous. And then when Satan once gets you in his power, only the power of God can release you. He'll tell you there's no harm in drinking. But once it gets a hold of you, you can't break it. He'll tell you there's no harm in smoking. But once it gets a hold of you, you can't release it. And that's true of any sin. I don't care how you use it. Then there's the poor soul that he has snared with false doctrine and unbelief. And the only power is the Holy Spirit can deliver that poor soul from such a snare. That's true. And I've dealt with thousands and tens of thousands of them. Then turn to Ephesians 6:11. We find these words. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here we notice the wiles of Satan the devil. Yes, Satan is a trickster, isn't he? He'll use every method in the world to deceive, to lure you. He's like a fox. He's sly. But back of it all is one purpose, and that is to decoy you and keep you from getting to Christ. That's all right. Satan doesn't care what you do, what you believe, where you go, what you are, just so you don't get to Christ. Then in John 8:44, we find Satan set forth as a liar. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Did it ever dawn upon you that Satan cannot tell the truth? Huh? That there is no truth in him? When Satan speaks, he can only tell a lie. He could not tell the truth if he wanted to. Every whisper of Satan in your heart is a lie. Satan cannot quote any scripture correctly. He misquotes every scripture he quotes. He is a liar. And a liar is one who cannot tell the truth. He cannot tell the truth about you. He lies about you. He'll lie about every message I bring. He'll lie to you about Christ and about the Bible. Just because a person quotes the scripture, it's no sign he is saved. Folks misunderstand me all the time. Someone said the other day, said, "Don't you know your word isn't worth anything among a certain family?" I said, "I don't give a tinker's hoop whether it is or not. I don't. My life is an open book with my Lord. I'm walking with him." And whether you believe it or not, and you don't have fellowship with me, it's a sign you are not saved. Any saved person can have fellowship with your speaker. I don't care who he is. And you go and say, "Well, I don't have fellowship with Pastor Sheldon." It's not Pastor Sheldon's fault, it's your fault. Huh? I'll have fellowship with you on one ground, and that ground is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us in fellowship with our blessed Lord. If you know him, I don't mean if you claim to know him, if you know him, then we'll have fellowship together in him. All right. Just because a person quotes the scripture, it's no sign he's saved. If you'll follow closely, you can see where unsaved persons quote it or misquote it, because they are emissaries of hell, emissaries of Satan. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:9, you'll find these words, "Even him," get it now, "whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." We see here that Satan has power. It says all power. Did you notice that? This power is given him by God the Father. I know that Satan is not equal with God. He is not omnipotent, and he can exercise only such power as God gives him. But the Scripture says, with all power, that is, with the power that God gives him, and signs and lying wonders. Where Satan has humanity fooled today is in thinking. Now listen, listen now. You hold your seat now, bud. Hold your seat. We're going to tell you something right here. Where Satan has humanity fooled today is in thinking that all miracles and religious experiences and religious wonders are of God, because they do not know that Satan works in the realm of religion with power, signs, and lying wonders, so much so until he would deceive even God's elect, if it were possible. I do not believe Satan can deceive God's elect. He may make them stand and wonder for a while, but they'll soon see through it by the discerning Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit. But listen, friends, all of your miracles, religious miracles today of healing, all of your signs and wonders, all of your religious experiences today do not come from God. The vast majority of the day that you see come from Satan. I'll stake my eternal destiny on that statement. I will. All right, you listen. You listen. What Satan cannot accomplish through insinuation, he does accomplish through imitation. Now, let's bring you another thought here. We've been dealing with Satan. He'll intimidate you. Try to intimidate you. I refuse to be put on the defense with an emissary of hell. I do. I don't care who he is. I refuse to be put on the defense. when the Scripture says, "Oh, no man anything," the basic truth there is, don't be under obligation to any man. Don't be put on the defense with any man. That's what the Christian is supposed to do. And brother, what Satan cannot accomplish through insinuation, he does accomplish through imitation. There is a belief in the land today which is widespread that all religious experiences and religious feelings come from God. Well, that's not so. Satan hides behind that religious cloak and palms off on poor blinded humanity an imitation that is damning multitudes of sinners to hell. Let's turn to God's Word. 2 Corinthians 11:13. You listen to God's Word, will you? Our time is slipping away, but listen. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed," or that is, "transformeth himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, or transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now you let that soak in. That's some scripture in it. That just makes your hair stand up on top of your head, doesn't it? Huh? "We have definitely set forth here Satan and his ministers as angels of light." Satan cannot pierce through to the spirit of man and unlock the hidden chamber of the spiritual part of the sinner, because the spirit of the unregenerate man is dead and darkened, and only the Holy Spirit can quicken the dead and make a sinner alive. But you get this fact. Satan can and does work in the realm of the mind and give that sinner a religious conviction of the mind, a religious feeling, or a religious impression in the mind, leading that individual into the realm of religious emotions and experiences, and thereby throw around that individual's his satanic presence, which is so real to him. Now, brother, I'm describing something here. Pardon me, that's just as real as can be. When Satan leads an individual into that condition, he gives that individual a love for the Word of God. Huh? You mean Satan can do that thing? Certainly can. Thus he can lead that individual to twist the interpretation of the Word as he wills. Now it may be startling to you to know that Satan gives his emissaries a love for the Word of God, but he does. There's a great difference between the love that Satan gives for the Bible and the love that a born-again believer has for the Word. Satan's disciples feel under coercion to read the Word. They must read it. They must memorize so much of it. If they do not read and study the Word, they feel a sense of condemnation. They just whip themselves. We used to have a man visit us every now and then and spend the night. After he'd talk a while, he'd say, "Well, excuse me, I've got to read the Word before I go to bed." "No, sir, I haven't missed a night in 20 years," he said. "I must read the Word. I must read the Word." Well, by reading the Word, he cannot keep up that presence. He can keep up that presence Satan has thrown around him, and that's the reason he reads it. To keep up that presence, that presence. Oh, that presence that's thrown around him, that satanic presence. That presence is just as real to that individual. And the individual never suspects, never dreams that it is the presence of Satan. Now, you don't know I was describing myself before I was saved. And I've talked with thousands of individuals in that same condition. Unless the Holy Spirit definitely convicts him of it, breaks the power of Satan, and takes that presence away from him, leaving him empty, he'll never see his lost condition. The Word of truth can never pierce that presence apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan will imitate the Holy Spirit in that realm and make the individual believe that he's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the presence he knows is the presence of Christ, when it's nothing but the presence of Satan. He is constantly praising Jesus Christ. This individual is always talking about the reality of Jesus, just like a born-again believer does. Yes, he's doing it, but it's empty. There's an emptiness there. He courts that presence. He loves that presence. He looks to that presence. And when that presence seems to leave him, he feels so empty, so void, until he has to go off alone and spend time in Bible reading and searching and praying and crying and weeping until that presence returns. Now, friends, I'm describing a great group of religionists today who are just as void of Christ, who know nothing about the reality of salvation in Christ as a Hottentot in Africa. And you didn't know it, but I'm describing my condition before God saved me. That's the reason I know it. And you said, well, preacher, how do you know those things? Well, I know L.R. Shelton. That's the reason I know it. As a result of this presence, Satan will give such an individual a great love for prayer. Yes, sir, not only a love for the Word, but a love for prayer. But beneath that love is a coercion in it. I'll be damned if I don't, and I'll be damned if I do, is their feeling. Satan will drive that individual to pray, until at times he'll spend many hours in a day in prayer. He'll never think about teaching a class, he's got to pray. He'll never think about running yonder and talking to some individual that he's spent a long time in prayer. Oh, I've got to work up that presence. I've got to work up that feeling. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. My. Friends, I know what I'm talking about. Before God saved me, I almost prayed my fool self to death. You ask, do you pray now? Yes, sir. But it's a different type of prayer. There's no coercion. Of the living God indwelling. I'd pray for the hour. I'd pray for the mile. I'd spend nights in prayer. And in the city I lived, I'd stand before a house that night, walking up and down the streets, praying for the inmates of that home. I could not be satisfied unless I did. Then I was always whipping myself because I didn't pray more. The born-again believer knows that he's not heard for his amount of praying or the length of prayers. He knows it is all fair seek under a cloak of self-righteousness that is damning to the nth degree. Brother, I'm describing you. I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about you, many of you, before you were saved. That's the life you lived. There's another characteristic of that presence, and that is it's very soothing. It's pleasing to the flesh. The individual who courts that presence never knows a divided heart. That is, he never knows a struggle in his heart. Because Satan has complete control of it. There's never any arguing going on within his heart from that angle. There's a song I used to sing that goes like this. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Yes, prone to leave the God I love. Before God convicted me, I'm talking about before God ever convicted you now. I used to say that writer doesn't know what he's talking about. I was never prone to leave God. I was never prone to wander away from Him. The reason for it, Satan had complete control of me. And there was just one of me. But since God saved me, there's two of me. And the old flesh is constantly warring against the Spirit. The conflict is within, not from without. The old flesh is constantly trying to pull me away from the Lord, trying to cause me to wander from Him. That is not so with the individual who knows the presence of Satan. He has, the only word I know how to use is the undivided heart. For he has never seen the wickedness of his heart. He knows practically nothing about his depraved condition, because the only conviction he knows is the conviction of sins, if any. That conviction was law conviction or conscience conviction, given to him by Satan. You know, Satan can convict you of sin, and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. You said, well, bless your heart. How do I know that thing? Well, it's so, whether you know it or not. And now the result of this presence of Satan that he's enveloped in is his so-called great love for God. Such an individual is always talking about his love for God. Oh, my love for God. He never talks about God's love for him. The reason is, he's never been convicted of his distance from a holy God and how God hates sin. I've seen folks, and I've talked to, and I'm talking about myself before God saved me. bases a person's salvation on his love for God, saying that if he didn't love the Lord with all of his heart, body, soul, and spirit, he wasn't saved. And you're always trying to work up that love for God. The born-again believer is just the opposite. He's talking about God's love for him. The born-again believer has come to see himself so depraved, so wicked, so vile, so corrupt. He has come to see how much he hates God by nature, until when God reveals his love to him, he never gets away from it. And the born-again believer is always talking about God's love for him. You might say, that's all he thinks about, how God loves such a wretch as her. Oh, I praise the Lord that he loved me, that he loved me. And the only love I have for God now is God's, the echo of God's love for me. And so the only thing I can talk about, friends, is God's love for this poor old sinner. Oh, how God loved me and broke my heart and brought me to know Christ as my Lord and my Savior.
This brings to the close another gracious message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. The message you heard was Satan the imitator. Oh, Satan, the old imitator, the old scoundrel. And we know, we saw that last week, and Satan was a liar, but he can't tell the truth. But the message you have heard today is Satan the imitator. And we'll send you this message in booklet form, free and postpaid, simply by just letting us know. You can call us, write us, email us. And also, I'd like to remind you that you can hear these messages over sermon audio, over Radio Missions Radio, over shortwave radio out of Nashville, Tennessee, WWCR, and other means, sermon audio. And I would like to hear from you. I appreciate every one of you helping me. Some send me $1 a month, some send me $100 a month, some send more or less. But I praise the Lord for your spirit of giving. The Lord raises folks up to give. He does. He gives us a giving spirit. And I praise the Lord for that. I fail oftentimes to thank you folks for helping us with the broadcast. But if you would, let me hear from you. Write me and tell me that you're listening. You may be a new listener, first time you ever heard this broadcast. Would you do that? Would you sit down and write me or email me? My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. Or you can call me. I'm always here early in the morning. And my phone number is area code 225-664-8658. But the message you heard was Satan the imitator. And we have it in booklet form. We send it to you free and postpaid along with many others. Or we'll send you a title list of all of Pastor Shelton's messages. They're all in print, over 400 titles. And they're all available on CDs for a small cost. And if booklets are free and postpaid, we'll send them to you. A packet of them you can give out in the nursing home or the jail or wherever you go. But remember, we're here every week at the same time. Let us know if you're listening. Call us. Pray for us. Goodbye and God bless you.